to it. But it's funny because to take the nuts out, some of the door handles had a 10-millimeter nut, and some of them had an 11-millimeter nut.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, that was kind of strange. Good, they paved the entrance here to Chick-fil-A. I wonder if they paved the entrance down to where Walmart's at, because it was fairly bumpy.
Oh, they did the entrance to, like, Lowe's and that?
Part of the way in, not all the way in, so there are still some truck holes here, though, but part of the way in they did.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's true. It was pretty bad. Okay, I'm here at Chick-fil-A, so catch you later. N9YOU, TB9, KBX.
All right, we'll talk to you later. KB9, KBX, and 9YOU.
CMN Network, 220.
KCNB JP Mobile. KI9NG.
CMN Network, MI3.
This is K9PGC in the mobile.
MI3 Network.
K9HAY mobile. Well, good morning, Hayden. K9PGC mobile.
Good morning there, John. Did you get out and get some riding in on this beautiful morning?
No, I cheated. I got on the stationary for 5-10 minutes. I running a little bit out of time this morning. I'm hoping to make things up tonight after work. LaPorte's got a night ride. It starts at 9 o'clock, but that means I get set up at 7, ride out there, you know, registration starts at 8. Report-wise, it's only 13 miles, but, you know, all said and done, I'll have 35 miles when I get done. And, because the round trip should be another 25 miles, you know. And we'll see how that... See how that plays tonight.
Once you get all all those miles logged, what times do you usually end up being by the time you get back to the house?
Last time I was no later than 11:30. For how it all worked out, because on this particular ride, they have food and refreshments to ride there, and I had a little sub sandwich, got to chew the rag a little bit, and straight home I went, you know, and I don't remember right now how direct I made the ride home, but there was one point, Rich was out, and he talked me back into town, and I wasn't at an aggressive rate to get home anyway. So, you know, that's where I consciously...
Well, 11:30 is not too awful. I was thinking it'd end up being after midnight, but that's still makes for a long day when you're going into work this early.
definitely save some time on the market.
I didn't copy your last transmission. The repeater was squawking out information.
I copy that. Oh, anyway, now I forget how to answer the question. But either way, depending how depending how it goes, I won't know till last minute whether I'm going to have a fast trip home from this or not tonight. You know, like I said, it's enjoyable, and probably do a 50-mile ride the next morning. I got to work Sunday, so I don't have much of a weekend.
How long did I got you for tonight? Are you only going in for 8 today?
Yeah, 8 in the gate. We'll see if we have a disaster brewing that might take me in the tail. We sort of did yesterday, and I thought both my partner and I were going to work over. Here's the punchline. The elevator breaks down. He's on it with one major component I'm waiting for. Hey, he volunteered to go get the part. He was actually running this job. And, you know, he goes, I hate to be a part swapper. And I'm like, well, at this point, he exhausted all the numbers with what we have to work with, all the normal troubleshooting. And this was something that was critical. But if it was me, I probably would have been running to not even worry. And it was hard, but just the whole idea. I wasn't going to trust the elevator. We have two elevators in that shop, and both of them was acting up. You would think they were union.
Well, if they're a union, there should be at least one of them working, right? But, yeah, hopefully today goes smooth for you, and you get back doing something. I think the weather's supposed to be beautiful today. I want to say that I saw the wind's supposed to switch out, come out of the north over the lake, and I want to say the high's right around 80, so a little bit cooler than we have been having.
Hey, copy that. Well, if I get a north wind by the time I head out, that'll help me on that hill climb out in and we'll see what happens, you know. I did a ride Wednesday, and I followed three of the people that actually the ride to Michigan City. Three of the members from the port actually rode in, and I rode with them back up to the Summit Farm, and then I turned, and I took a long way home, all country roads. That was a nice ride. But we had a gal that, well, those three should have 15 miles over me, so the way they went. But that gal that rode, right before we got to the summit, she had to pull rest down some more water. That was an 88-degree day we started off with. And here's my punchline. This is where I'm going with this. I had pickle juice on board, and she didn't want to drink any of that. I kicked myself for not having extra Gatorade, even though we all had something. She wasn't running out of supplies, but, you know, the weather got her, you know, the temperature and all that. But for that ride, I had a couple pickles. You know, I had a little something to eat before the ride. Down a few pickles, and then I had a small pickle juice I threw on board, you know, in case I wanted something additional, but I'm starting to carry that on board now.
Yeah, I've seen little itty bitty like 1 ounce bottles, commercially sold pickle juice. For that reason, to help with the heat illness and the cramps and stuff like that. And they're in little bottles, about the size and look of like that, that they have the 5-hour energies in. And yeah, I've tried all kinds of stuff for different kinds of cramps and heat and all that. And I agree with you, the pickle juice works. I've tried a couple other of the like mixins that you put in water, like Element and Liquid IV, and they do pretty well too. But you know, they're not cheap. They're $2 or $3 for a little stick to put in your water bottle. But yeah, I've definitely used the pickle juice before. It works well.
Hey, copy that. There's one time I had one of these. It looked like a lemon, you know, for buying lemon juice. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna reuse this, and, you know, at least for a little while, and put the pickle juice in it, right? And there was a joke that, yeah, you keep doing that, not labeling it right, one day you're gonna grab the wrong thing out of your refrigerator. And I go, yeah, but I have different luck. If I was to do that, that thing would be filled with juice out of a jar of jalapenos. That's where I would screw up. And, you know, it was sort of funny how that conversation went, but this one friend of mine, Elmer, he twisted my arm one day. He goes, you're already eating pickles. Get the juice. Got it on this rock. And that was one thing, you know, and I, you know, I started carrying it off and on in some form, you know, just with the thought. And I'm belling about this because I want to make that, I want to have that stuck in my mind that that's a regular thing. Pull it out of the refrigerator, throw it in the bag, and ride.
KD9HAY. Yeah, I never really dealt with any, had any problems with cramps while I've ever been doing anything physical. It's always after the fact. You know, I'll be, it'll be like the night after I do anything physical, I'll be laying in bed and my calves will cramp up real bad. And maybe, I don't know, 8 months or so ago, I started taking a magnesium supplement, and that seems to have helped a lot too.
More for my back. I'm taking a regular dosage of slow magnesium. Okay. So that's been doing me some good, you know. So I stopped doing that for a few years. Okay. You know, I've got to drive it through my whole.
Is that like a glucosamine supplement, or what is that? You got a copy there, John? You, the last transmission, you were struggling to hold the repeater, or you, maybe you're going through the tunnel or something like that. Well, I guess you got a little bit too far away, but if you come back in range, I'll be here for the next couple of minutes. And then I'll be home. KA9PCC, KD9HAY.
Yeah, you probably missed that whole transmission. I'm just pulling up to the gate, so I'm going to have a 30 second blackout here in a little bit. I got a couple cars ahead of me, so maybe I'm getting in right now. But yeah, you saw all the towers I got around me. It's Reflection City 101. You know where I'm at.
Oh yeah, you were you're rock solid that time. But what are you running for a VHF UHF antenna on that?
I've got a glass mount half wave. It's half wave for VHF. And usually that thing is there's a kill antenna, but how I'm using it might be an issue. I'm at the blackout point. Give me a second here. All right, Hayden, I should be back now. But yeah, that was a killer. I put on my 93 years ago, and I used to do some real good simplex with it. But I have it on the side window of this Murano, and I think that window tint is it's broadbanded, so I already know something. But I've been utilizing it, so one of these days I'm gonna put one of the other antennas on, because I've done that to know the difference when I get into this area. You know, even if it's just a half wave on the rack, that little extra height is gold. I got something taller that can make through the tunnel.
Yeah, if anything, that metal on concrete certainly is an unpleasant noise. But I got the controller in for the ATOS, that controller that'll work with the ICOMs, and I'm hoping to give that a try this weekend. I picked up a triple mag mount, and I'm going to try throwing the ATOS on top of the car here.
Hey, copy that. Yeah, you love that antenna, okay? I got reasons not to use it most of the time. But I originally bought that. I bought that for a couple different scenarios, and it's worked out great over the years. You know, we go on a road trip. I got a mag mount. I can throw that all on the wife's car. You know, and go at it. Two things about that antenna there. Always keep a good eye on the SWR. You know, over time. Because, you see, my environment, because I did use it for a year driving out to the mill. It's weather sealed and so forth, but in my opinion, because of the mill environment, okay, that's something that I want to take apart, clean it, and lubricate it every so often. And the fingers that you normally have to make contact when it's, the like a tar heel, you don't have that on the ATOS. It's three spring-loaded balls, stainless steel balls, that make that electrical connection, okay? Mechanically, it's great. Electrically, if you want to, you know, you take this apart, you clean it every so often, you're gold. Because all I use is, I use a silicone spray. I've never seen any corrosion. But I had an occasion, and I couldn't tell you how many years I was using it, that I thought the SWR was a little unstable, okay? And so as long as I've had that antenna, which puts us probably 2000, I've tore it apart and cleaned it no more than three times.
Yeah, you can't complain about that too much. You're almost getting, you know, close to a decade between cleanings. But, yeah, the night I got it, I wish I hadn't have done it, but I was all excited and threw it on the car on the mount that I have my VHF, UHF antenna on, and just to see, you know, how it works and stuff like that. But that particular night was, we got a snowstorm, and it got covered in salt. It was all cased in salt, and I got it cleaned up pretty well, but I really wish I hadn't done that.
Hey, copy that. And you see, the only thing I don't like about this is when it runs from one extreme to the other, okay, there's no limit switches inside to stop it. So the internal clutch of the motor assembly, okay, because physically I don't see a clutch. But they got to have something in there so you don't burn up the motor. And that may be as simple as in the electronics, current limiting. So you don't burn up the motor, but you can really jam that sucker and not know it. Okay, that's why I do the things I do. And because I got to see a little exploded view of it one day. And this goes back a few years, and I'm like, you know something? I got to maintain it. Because I already had some questions. And, but that's just it. I keep all that thing clean. One other thing, too, that I didn't realize, for that antenna to be useful on UHF and VHF, there's a guide rod in there. You know, so things doesn't twist. That also works as your quarter wave for VHF, you know. And cause I really didn't know how they did that, but when I saw that, I go, well, I wanted to use two different antennas anyway. So when I did throw that on the Grand Am, you know. But that's just it. I am not complaining about my purchase. You know, I even have a little tripod for that sucker if I was to take it out in the field, you know, and play portable. So that's some of my resources. But you have a fixed shunt coil in there to make it all tuned, so it can be very temperamental for how it tunes up on a car. You know, where it might like some bands and not the others for that particular grounding, you know. But that's just it. I still recommend that antenna, you know what I mean? And, because, like I said, there's things I do like about it. But I'm in the parking lot, got to make a mad dash for the cash there, Aiden, but I'll listen for your final. And, hey, you never know, you might catch me in transit tonight when I ride out to LaPorte.
Yeah, what little I've worked with it so far, using the mount I already have on the vehicles, it seems extremely narrow-banded, you know, even a few kilohertz one way or the other, you'd have to retune on it. And it worked pretty well on 40. It wasn't great on 20, but it was doable, and 10 I couldn't get to work at all. So I'm hoping with that mag mount being now in a more central location on the car and potentially, you know, having some more metal squarely under it, that might work a little better. But I'll let you run there, John, and have a great day. And, yeah, maybe I'll catch you tonight while you're out on your ride. But other than that, have a great day in 73, KA9PGC, KD9HAY.
Hey, have a good one there, Aiden. I'll probably be on this repeater when I ride out. And, you know, try to avoid the channel masters. But still, I get some great coverage in LaPorte with this machine, so that's really the reason why I grab it. When I go out west, I gotta grab 6-1. You know, that 5 miles difference between the two repeaters does make a difference. You know, they're all nice and high, you know. Stories for another day on my coverages, you know. And you have a good one there. Yeah. 10 was a problem. That's where I had to have a magnet, a little ground wire and a magnet. Because I'm, you know, I'm grounded. I got a ground strap that's only like 13 inches, but I had to use a magnet to get the right coupling for 10. So that's how that one goes. And 73, KD9HAY, KD9PGC.
CMN Network. This is the CMN Network, MI3. CMN Network, 220. CMN Network, MI3. MI3 Network.
Maybe not in your mind.
CMN Network. This is the CMN Network, MI3. CMN Network, 220. CMN Network, MI3.
89 UMI, Mobile.
MI3 Network. CMN Network.
K-I-9-E, this is K-9-T-G-T calling.
This is the CMN Network, MI3.
K-I-9-E, how you doing, John?
Yeah, I think I'm doing pretty good today. I got out in 8 hours, so that's a plus.
That's a plus. Nice short day there for once in a while.
If I'm lucky, every other Friday. So, there's a bike ride in La Porte tonight at 9 o'clock. So I think I'm going to ride out there and enjoy it. You know, ride hard out there, then the easy 13 miles, and then whatever it takes to get home, right?
That's a lot of miles. What time does it start at 9 p.m.?
Yeah, that's when they roll out. Registration starts at 8. And so I probably get on the pedals at 7 o'clock. Last time I did this, I didn't get home until no later than 11:30.
That makes for a lot of riding there. I'll just be careful out there, you know, especially with it being dark out and, you know, the vehicles not watching where they're going and stuff.
Yeah, well, I've got enough lighting that I do get enough attention to the bike. And one, I was heading out of La Porte, finally
you were kind of in a bad spot there that time. John didn't catch too much.
All right, maybe it's a little bit better in this spot. I got east of the
Okay, yep, you were better that time. Sounding good now, wherever you're at there. I said to stop in Chesterton. I'm on my way out of work. I stopped in Chesterton at the BK here to get the grandkids some chicken nuggets.
Ah, nuggets. Hey, you got me hungry, pal, but that's all right. I'm going to eat before I ride, and then at the end of the ride, they usually have some sandwiches. So they got some refreshments. So, I know I'm covered today.
Yeah, sounds good. That's good. They feed you there, too. You can't beat that.
What's nice about the ride is they have a city, a park department truck, actually, that will drive behind us. You know, be a little bit of a blocker. So that's nice. I forget how many bikes we had last time, but that was the first time I went on one of the LaPorte events. Didn't know what they were going to show me, teach me, or what have you. And tonight is a different starting point. And we should be over by Fox Park, by that, whatever they call that, amphitheater, that general area. So, that's with a good time frame of my travel. The last time they had that at the start at the Parks Department, and that took me just 45 minutes to get to their doorstep. And so Fox Park. Be a little quicker.
Is that the general area you're going to be in? Is around Fox Park there?
Well, that's where it starts, and it starts and ends. And then whatever route they take us through is, we'll see how that works out. I mean, we went around the lake last time, and that was nice. Everything was so nice and calm, you know what I mean? You look out on those lakes and, nice, peaceful. And, they're going to do something different this time, and I'll figure out what that is, at some point. And just surprising that I'm the most lit bike. There was 3 years in a row I did a night ride out of Schererville. And it was the brightest thing out there, but I'm happy to say I had a couple things that was unique to the rest of the group, for the lighting, but that was a 16-mile ride, and so I drove out there, and that was a nice one. It would go from Schererville to Munster and back, but that's the deal.
I heard there was some kind of shooting that's the speedway there on 421. This is south of 94. There was some kind of activity going on there with the shooting, a bunch of cops heading out to the area. There was an officer involved shooting. I don't know if they caught the guy yet or not.
I heard it was somewhere on 94.
So,
yeah, I'm afraid this is the start of something. You know? And whoever's doing this BS is a copycat. Okay? And, it's wrong any time of year, but right now I think this kind of ICOM receivers, to be really precise, right? And we need to go look at this one exhibit. And Justine goes, you've got all that, don't you, Dad? And a couple of students and that one science teacher of hers thought she was joking. I go, no, that R100 there, I actually bought that in 1993. You know, so that technology is not really that old that you're seeing sitting there, even though the age of the radio is. And that gal didn't know what to think. Now, that particular teacher, I met her at a party when she was a freshman. I forget if I was a junior or senior in high school, but she might remember something of me, you know, because that would be one of those deals where somewhere I was saving the day for the particular party, either a designated driver taking people home or had to check out the stereo. One or the other.
You're okay on the ICOM R100 receiver there. That's pretty cool that you've seen that. Did you ever watch the Sharknado movies there, John?
No, I haven't.
I think there's three or four of them out there. They're one of those kind of movies there. It's kind of absurd, but that's the good part about it. It's the absurdity.
Copy that. Yeah, that's the one thing is over the years, whether it's movies or television, I probably missed out on a lot of stuff I wish I would have watched. And there's things I like to follow. The bill gets in the way, and then I don't follow it. I was never one of those people to record a TV show and watch it later. If something broke up the series, then I lost interest, you know, and things were coming out. That's where I was really watching ages ago the movie, I mean, not the movie, the series Lost. Then they had that writer's strike, and that was it. I could not get into that season 4, and all I did is see the last episode of season 5. I just blinked and, you know, but anyway, I'm looking down the list of things in recent times that, man, I gotta watch this movie, I gotta watch that movie, and it's been out for a while, but it's got the actors I want to see, you know, and I'm surprised some of the stuff I've missed, but oh well, that's the scenario. Of course, at this late date, a lot of things I want to watch, I don't think the wife wants to, so there's that problem I have.
K9PGC, KI90. Yeah, there's some good ones out there. There's a good series on Netflix right now called The Last Ship. The Last Ship is about a naval ship that's out on a mission in the Arctic. And the time that they're out there, there's a virus spreading around the world. And they get involved with helping find the cure for the virus and get into some scrapes with people back home, and, you know, because the government's basically gone. And it's a good one if you get a chance to watch that one.
Yeah, I keep that in mind, because there's a number of, there's a few other shows on Netflix that either I didn't finish it, or I'm waiting for the next installment, you know. The girls got me into, we marathoned through it, to The Crown at one point. They watched it, I didn't have time for it, but when I was laid up over the winter, we were going through that, and we went through Wednesday. I forget what else, but that Crown there. We were somewhere into the part of the series having Lady Diana, being separated. And, you know, I don't, it's neat because how much I do remember from way back, you know, stuff over the years. And, but anywho, that was one thing that, what sort of put a kibosh on that is I went back to work. Otherwise, I would have finished the series.
Yep, that happens there for sure. But, in that last ship series, there's quite a few references to ham radio.
Hey, copy that, yeah. That proved interesting. There's one movie I came across by accident, I'll never come up with the title. I just had that brain freeze, and it eventually hit me later. But they were doing a little bit of a spoof, but it was of the old Flash Gordon, you know, stuff you expect in 1937, you know, Buck Rogers, something like that. But what was really neat is the old hand gear they had available, and they had the Helicrafter Sky Champion, you know? And I locked in on that one, you know? And there was another Helicrafter they had, and I really lit up. I go, I know exactly where that radio is. Once I get some time off again, because I really want to just take it as a national receiver, put it a national NC300, put that out on the picnic table and go through it. So, you know, so it won't be just fixing a problem. I want to spend all day tweaking, right? And so that, I may be doing that in a couple of weeks. I did, however, have a, oh God, what is that? D150, I said, D177, I forget the model number, but I did pick up a hammer lung that I did, I got that receiver doing exactly what I wanted to do, you know, and I can always use that with the AM transmitter I got, so the Johnson Viking, I had to do Viking Valiant, I had to do a little something to it. It's ready to rock and roll, and I've been just dragging my feet on that national, you know. It's a weak receiver, so I already know the tubes are good. I already went through not just a tube checker, someone that really does know what he has and how to use it, right? I've got the cheaper. I got three tube checkers, and they're, you know, they're on the cheaper side. This guy's got top of the line. He's also 82 years old, but anyway, nice guy. And I had that stuff checked out, and I have the equipment to take this out. So I already have it somewhat narrowed down, and it's just the whole idea, you know, that take it outside, nice sunlight, and just enjoy a whole afternoon messing with it, you know, instead of just being in the workshop and the artificial lighting works with it, you know. That's really what I'm dragging my feet. If I truly want to get on the air, AM, I can put that hammer lung there. I've got a Collins. I've got other receivers I can put in there. But that is important to me to get that national going completely and put all that on the air, because that'd be all nostalgia for me, except I never did AM back in the day. I did CW. I had a little Amico transmitter with a VFO that I got rid of to have something better, even though that was something else I had to fix, you know? But, and that might be where I get the 150 from. That's what he said. And, but anyway, you know, I've had a lot of things in storage to properly, you know, enjoy the equipment.
CMN Network, 220.
Okay, John, yeah, I was just curious. I remember you mentioned that in the past there, you're working on that. I like some of the history about those companies. I don't know if it's Collins or Hammerlund or I forget the other names that are out there, but I remember the one video I watched talked about how the one company was famous for its variable capacitors, and other companies started catching on and doing the same thing, and stuff like that. I guess that was a big deal at the time to manufacture those.
Okay, copy that, yeah. Well, towards the end of the way I used that national, that receiver could have started going deaf on me, and I really didn't know it. The 40 meters was always quite strong for me, and, you know, all the way around for everything I did, so, you know, that was one thing that I could see, not knowing what the other bands were doing, you know. But anyway, yeah, I definitely have to get back into stuff. I actually made up a rack on wheels that has all that. Now I need a bigger rack, because I want to add stuff, you know. And, because in the process, I picked up an SP220. It needed work. It was DOA when I got it. power supply issue. So it's like, you know, I could use that. I could, you know, but I didn't have any plans to have power. You know, now I got it. You know, just sort of funny how everything just keeps on building on each other.
Okay, and SPT-20, I remember that one. I think that's with the 1.5 kW heat kit unit there. That's good line there. Hopefully we can get that one working. But with that, John, I am about pulling in the subdivision here. I'll say 7-3 to you. Have a good weekend and a safe bike ride here this evening. KA9PGC, this is KI-90.
Alrighty. Hey, Jim, we'll let you be. Oh, that's the 2K. That's the 2 kilowatt amp, by the way, and it will do it. It doesn't have 160. That's the only thing that can bum me out, okay, in one aspect. Because I think I could make a name for myself on 160, you know, something very respectable. But, hey, if it don't happen, it don't happen, you know what I mean? I'm going to give it the old college try when that comes around. But anyway, with that, we'll let you run, and we'll catch up with you. Hey, maybe this winter I'll have that thing going, and you and I can do a little AM there on 80, you know. But 73 is Jim. KI-9E, this is KA9PGC, mobile.
Yes, certainly, John. Thanks for the call. Hey, C9HO.
CMN Network, MI3.
Doing an update. Repeater will restart here in a moment, so if you're connected to the repeater, you might have to reconnect. AC9HO.
MI3 Network.